Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. And our text for this morning is the verse 3. Verse 3, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? No, it wasn't any of the 11 disciples that came to the sepulchre that morning on the first day of the week. Instead, it was a group of women who first appeared at the garden tomb that resurrection morning. Three of those women are mentioned here in the verse 1. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. But a comparison of the four Gospels, you will find that a number of women, not just the three mentioned here, a number of women made their way to the sepulchre that morning. If you go forward to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 23, and there we read in verse 55, and the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. In verse 1 of chapter 24, and upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came. They came. That is those mentioned there in the last couple of verses of the previous chapter. They came unto the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Now, who were the others? Well, we are told there in Luke, the women also which came with him from Galilee. Now again, if you go back in Luke's Gospel to the chapter 8, and we read about those women who came with him from Galilee. Luke chapter 8, in verse 2, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, her steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. The reference there is to those who had followed the Lord from Galilee. Wherever the Lord went, they had followed him and ministered unto him of their own substance. Now Galilee to Jerusalem is a distance of approximately 100 miles. And so here we have these women who followed the Lord wherever he went, and here we have them following the Lord from Galilee to Jerusalem. And then those women followed him to Calvary, and from Calvary to the sepulchre. And not only to the cross did they follow him, but here we say they followed him to the sepulchre, because we are told they beheld the sepulchre, how his body was laid. Luke 23, verse 55. They followed him there, and followed him to the sepulchre, and there they looked, and they looked, and watched as his body was laid. in the sepulchre, how their eyes were on the Savior, looking, ever looking upon him, until the stone was rolled across the mouth of the sepulchre and they saw him no more. What does this all tell us about Mary Magdalene and the other women? How would you describe the women who came to the sepulchre that morning? How would you describe those who traveled all the way from Galilee? For me, words that come to mind like devotion, love, dedication. That's how I would describe those women. And I can also add the words that are found in the Song of Solomon. Love is strong as death. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Song of Solomon 8 verses 6 and 7. I want to take those words. Love is strong as death. And those words can be applied to those women. For certainly nothing could drown or quench the love that those women had for their Savior. And now we find them very early in the morning, the first day of the week, at the sepulchre. Verse 2, at the rising of the sun. And I thought, what an interesting and lovely phrase that is. They arrived at the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. S-U-N. But they arrived at the sepulchre at the rising of the S-O-N. The Son of God rose that morning. And as we read in the scriptures, Christ is risen with healing in his wings. He's the Son of righteousness. He's the Son of God. And with the rising of the sun, so Christ, the Son of God, arose that morning. And as we join those women at the sepulchre that morning, I want to take those words from the Song of Solomon and consider love as strong as death. One, first of all, to consider the women and their arrival at the sepulchre. A love as strong as death took the Lord Jesus himself, of course, to the cross. And the love for the Lord Jesus brought those women to the sepulchre that morning. All that the women did that morning was governed by their love for their Savior and their Lord. I want you to notice, first of all, regarding their arrival at the sepulchre, notice their diligence. Each of the four Gospels record that when the women came to the sepulchre, that it was very early in the morning. We have it here in verse 2. It was the first day of the week, and they were going to see their Lord, even though they understood that he would be in a tomb. That's how they understood. That was the thought of their mind as they left home that morning. They were going to see their Lord, albeit, as far as they were concerned, lying in a tomb. They just wanted to see him. They just wanted to see their Lord and their Savior. notice regarding their diligence, we notice their preparation. Their preparation for coming to see the Lord. Their preparation for coming to the sepulchre that morning. We read there in Luke 23 and verse 56 that after the crucifixion and burial, we're told the women returned and prepared spices and ointments. So after the Lord was laid in the tomb, they returned home. The next day was the Sabbath, and so before the Sabbath dawn, they returned home and prepared spices and ointments that they might bring with them to anoint the Lord. And so, as we see here, they brought those spices which they had prepared. So they came prepared to see their Lord and to anoint Him. And here's a lesson for us. It's the first day of the week. Why do we come to the Lord's house? To worship, yes, and by faith to see the Lord. And we can ask ourselves, well, what preparation did I make this morning before I came to the Lord's house? What preparation did I make? Because I know that I was going to meet with the Lord today. What was my preparation? Do you prepare your heart to meet with and to worship the Savior? Proverbs 16 verse 1, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So when we come to the Lord's house or go up to the Lord's house to worship Him, it is good to have our hearts prepared. Those women, they made preparation for going to see the Lord. Good to prepare the heart. How much more our worship of the Lord will benefit us that we come to the Lord's house with hearts that are well prepared. As well as their preparation, we notice their promptness. The fact that they were so prompt the first day of the week and coming to the sepulchre, we're told it was very early in the morning. And surely this once again focuses our attention on these women and their love, the love they had for Christ. They didn't leave going to the sepulchre to the last minute. They were up. They had made preparation. They were ready to go. And they were there early in the morning. Why? Because they wanted to see the Lord. Christ was on their mind. And there they were ready to go and meet with the Lord. And it was as maybe they couldn't sleep. We're going in the morning to meet with the Savior. And they rose up early in the morning. And there they arrived at the sepulchre early that morning. Why? Because we're going to see the Lord. We read in 1 Samuel 1 verse 19 regarding Hannah and her husband. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord. Oh, that we had the same anticipation of heart when the first day of the week comes. We think about going to the Lord's house. Say, I'm going to see the Lord today. I'm going to meet with the Savior today. I'm going to see something of Him in the Word today. Just like those women. They were up early that morning because they were going to see the Lord. speaks of their love. As well as their diligence, we think of the darkness. Mark here tells us how early it was when the women came to the sepulchre, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Yes, that's when it was when they arrived at the tomb. But what would it have been when they left home? When they left their dwelling to make their way to the sepulchre? Well, we're told in John 20, verse 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was dark. It was dark. Did not their love for the Lord enable them to overcome any fear they may have had about going to a place of burial in the dark? Many people walk through a graveyard and it's pitch dark. There's nothing to fear, but not too many people want to do that. Well, here, Mary Magdalene and the others made their way to the sepulchre, but it was dark. Turn to Matthew. Matthew 27, verse 64. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate saith unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Now think of them. Those women made their way to the sepulchre early in the morning when it was dark. And they also had to contend with the Roman guard that had been set to watch the sepulchre. And so, as well as the darkness, there was a guard, a Roman guard, who had no love for Christ, and would have no love for those women. The darkness and the guard, yet in spite of those things that would have frightened many another person, because of their love for the Lord Jesus Christ, that love brought them to the sepulchre that morning. In spite of the Roman guard, in spite of the darkness, love for Christ will enable us to overcome many a difficulty. You can say, I'll do it all for Jesus. I'll do it all for Jesus. He's done so much for me. As well as their diligence and the darkness, you see also their devotion. We have another wonderful example of the devotion that they had to the Lord Jesus, how they loved him. Those women made their way that morning to the sepulchre with, see in verse 1, the spices that they had prepared 2 days before, the day before the Sabbath. That's when they made preparation. And they came to the sepulchre. We're told in verse 1, they had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. That's an important word. To anoint him. No, they hadn't come to embalm him. That was not the practice of the Jews. Anyhow, the embalming of the body was left to physicians. And there was no time for that. The Sabbath was drawing on by the first day of the week, and things had to be attended to. And so those women came that first day of the week with their spices. What to do? To anoint him. To anoint the Lord. Not to embalm him. This was an act of love and an act of devotion. Turn please to Luke chapter 7. Luke 7. Now we read in verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and then wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now the Lord then goes on to tell us what the anointing meant. She anointed the Lord. And what did that anointing of the Lord mean? What did it symbolize? Well, look down at verse 46. The Lord is addressing, speaking to Simon the Pharisee. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Why did she anoint the Lord? The Lord tells her, because she loved me much. Because she had a great deal of love for me. That's why she anointed me. And that's why the women came to the sepulchre that morning. Not to embalm the body of Christ, but to anoint him with the ointment and the spices they had prepared, because they loved him. And as far as they were concerned, this possibly would have been the very last opportunity they would have had to do anything like that. Just go back there a couple of chapters to Luke 14. Or sorry, Mark 14. Mark 14. In verse 3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. Verse 8. The Lord says, she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. There's the word again, anoint. She came to anoint the Lord then, perhaps thinking she wouldn't have an opportunity to do it later. But the point is this. That woman in Luke 7 and the woman Mary in Mark 14 and the women who came to the sepulchre that morning to anoint the Lord, they did it all because they loved him. This is what they wanted to do. They wanted to anoint him because they loved him. That's why we sang there, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou, if ever I love thee. My Jesus, 'tis not. as well as the women and their arrival at the sepulchre, we have the women and their anxiety at the sepulchre. There is a saying, love is blind. But here these women had a love for Christ, and their love for Christ had blinded them to something else. They come to the sepulchre, and what was it that troubled them? You have the problem. What was the problem? Here was a problem which they hadn't foreseen. They hadn't thought about it. And why had they not thought about it? Because I believe they were so taken up in their mind with the Savior. They wanted to anoint His body. Why? Because they loved Him. And when their hearts and minds were filled with a love for Christ, they weren't thinking about anything else. The darkness didn't bother them. The Roman guard didn't bother them. They were so wrapped up in their love for the Lord and been able to go and see the Lord that day. So what was the problem? Verse 3. There we are told. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And done with that. And then the end of verse 4 tells us it was very heavy. So it wasn't something that these women could move. They couldn't roll away the stone because it was very heavy. But they left home that morning when it was dark, and it never cost them a thought. Who's going to roll the stone away from us? That was their problem. Having their minds and hearts filled with love for Christ, they thought of nothing else but the Savior. Never thought about the stone not being rolled away. This teaches us something. It teaches us that when our minds are filled with thoughts of Christ, we'll not have our thoughts upon our problems in life. Rather, we'll be taken up with the Savior. Turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. There in Philippians 4. And here Paul tells us what we're to think about. The women were thinking about the Lord Jesus. They never thought about the problem. Their thoughts were fixed upon the person of Christ. Now we read in verse in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now you go through the list that Paul gave there, and you can apply the words to Christ. Whatsoever things are true, that's Christ. Whatsoever things are honest, that's Christ. Whatsoever things are pure, that's Christ. Whatsoever things are lovely, that's Christ. Whatsoever things are of good report, that's Christ. If there be any virtue, that's Christ. If there be any praise, that's Christ. Think on these things. And so what do? We think upon the Lord. Fill our minds with thoughts of the Lord Jesus. And the women came to the sepulchre that morning, and their minds and hearts were filled with thoughts of the Lord. They never thought about the problem of the door or the stone, they met the door of the sepulchre. Never cost them a thought. As well as the problem, we notice the perception. Again, Mark 16 and verse 3, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very heavy. There's their perception. They saw the stone was rolled away. And here was the problem that they had, that for a while they were worried about it. But when they came to the place where they believed they would face their problem, the problem was no longer there. The problem had been removed. You notice there in the verse 3 or in verse 4, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. That word looked, the word look means to look up. And when they looked up, they saw the stone rolled away. So what does that tell us? Here was their problem. And they were thinking about the problem. Who's going to roll the stone away for us? And because of the problem, they were downcast. They were looking down. But then we're told they looked up. And when they looked up, they saw the stone was rolled away. Their problem had been removed. Isn't that what happens to us? We have our problems in life, and we're cast down, and we look down, and we always see the worst in everything. But these women lift their eyes up. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw the stone was rolled away. Does that not challenge our hearts? How disappointed we would be. They were disappointed. They were cast down. They were cast down because the stone in their minds was over the mouth of the sepulchre, and if the stone was there, they had the strength to roll it away. They would have been disappointed at not seeing the Lord. That's why they were cast down. They wouldn't see the Lord. How disappointed are we if we don't see the Lord? When we come to seek the Lord, come to worship the Lord, but we'd be disappointed if we didn't see Him. Remember Mrs. Dorian Noble? Tell me one day at the door at the church they used to go to. And she says, you know, the minister, the pastor never preached Christ. She said he may have mentioned the Lord's name in the Bible reading, and we'd always been thinking, well, maybe today we're going to hear about the Lord today. They're always disappointed. They were disappointed because they didn't see the Lord. The women would have been disappointed had they not been able to see the Lord. They were cast down. But then when they looked up, the stone was rolled away from their head. And who rolled it away? Go to Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew 28. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, sat upon it. Who rolled it away? God took care of the matter. He sent an earthquake. And with the earthquake, an angel. And the door, the stone was rolled away from the door. And there's a great thought there. That here we come day by day through life, and we have our problems, and we face our problems, and we wonder, what are we going to do? And God's the one who's able to roll away the stone. God's the one who's able to take care of our problem. He took care of this problem for the women. He sent an earthquake and an angel to roll away the stone. That's what our God's able to do. He's able to solve our problems, carry our burdens, meet our needs. And that's what he did for the women at the sepulchre that morning. He rolled away the stone. I like what Matthew Henry said about the rolling away of the stone. Matthew Henry said, "They who are carried by a holy zeal to seek Christ diligently will find the difficulties that lie in their way strangely to vanish, and themselves helped over them beyond their expectation." That's how Matthew Henry described the rolling away of the stone. They who are carried by a holy zeal to see Christ, that's description of the women. They were carried by a holy zeal to seek Christ diligently, will find the difficulties that lie in their way. That was the stone. Will find the difficulties that lie in their way strangely to vanish, and themselves helped over them beyond their expectation. They wondered how they were able to get into the sepulchre. And when they arrived, the stone was rolled away, and they were able to enter in and enter into an empty sepulchre. The Lord took care of the problem. You have the problem, you have their perception, then you have the pronouncement. Again there in Mark 16 and verse 6. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. And he said unto them, "Be not afraid. Ye see Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified, he is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they left him." Some pronouncement. You're seeking Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. The young man said to the woman, "Well, listen, ladies, he's not here. He is not here. He is risen. He is risen." They had gone there to anoint a dead Savior. But the news they received was about a living Savior. He is risen. Sure, that was even better than what they expected. They expected to go and anoint the body of a dead Christ. But that's not what happened. the news they got was better than what they expected. They went there to anoint the body of the dead Christ, and what were they told? They were told, he's not here, he is risen. That was the best news they could have received. Instead of anointing a dead Christ, they had the opportunity to worship a living Christ. Look at Matthew 28 and verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail, and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Boy, that was better than what they expected that morning. As I said, they expected to meet with a dead Christ. Instead, they worshipped a living Christ, falling down at his feet, and they worshipped him. Those who love the Lord Jesus and go seeking him will never be disappointed. The Lord Jesus will never be a disappointment. For any who go seeking Christ, and when they find him, they'll not be disappointed. Remember the Queen of Sheba? She had heard a lot about Solomon, his wisdom. And when the Queen of Sheba arrived and spent time with Solomon, what was her testimony? She says, the half was not told me. In other words, she found in Solomon far more than ever she had been told about him. And so it is with the Lord Jesus, because a greater than Solomon is here. And whatever people tell others about Christ, if they would only come to the Savior and receive him, that's what they would say. They would say, preacher, the half was not told me. Preacher, you didn't tell me the half of it. They will always find in the Lord Jesus more than what they have ever been told. And those women went to anoint a dead Christ, and what did they find? They found a living Christ, more than what they expected. So let us rejoice, believer. Let us do what those women did that day, that morning. Let us take hold of the nail-pierced feet of Christ and fall down and worship him. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Risen, our victorious head. Sing his praises. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the dead. What a message. Christ is risen from the dead. We're worshipping a living Savior today. We're not bowing down before some dead, dumb idol. We're worshipping a living Lord, a risen, exalted Savior. Praise his name. The arrival at the tomb, the women and their anxiety at the tomb, and finally, the women and their announcement about the tomb. The angel at the vacated sepulchre told the women what they must now do. Verse 7. The angel said, but go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. As he said unto you. The Lord always keeps his word. He told the disciples that he would rise again. They didn't believe it. And here the message that the women were to take to the disciples Go ye before into Galilee, and there shall ye see him as he said unto you. The Lord always keeps his word. Not even death and hell and the grave can keep the Lord from keeping his word. As he said unto you. So the women were to go and tell first of all the men. They were to go and tell the men. If you like that little touch there in verse 7. Go your way. Tell. Why we can tell people we worship the living Savior. Go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter. Of all the disciples we all know, Peter was the one who denied ever knowing the Lord, and he did so with oaths and curses. And Peter thought his ministry was done because he went back to his fishing. And he said to six of his fellow disciples, I go a fishing. And they said unto him, we go also with thee. He thought that was it. He had failed the Lord miserably. He had promised the Lord many things. I'll go with thee, Lord, to prison, even unto death. And we all know what happened. And the message for the women to bring to the disciples and Peter was, go into Galilee, you'll see him there. And Peter wasn't left out. And I have no doubt those women spoke those words lovingly to Peter. When you're in love with Christ, you see, all that you will say about him will always be in love. And the women had something to say about Christ. And with their devotion to him, what they told Peter was a thing out of a heart full of love for the Lord. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man in the world may say. Let's tell the story of a risen Christ. He told the man, and he went out with a message. The women had a message, we have a message. Christ is alive. And we're told in verse 8, and they went out quickly. They wasted no time getting to the sepulchre, and now they waste no time leaving the sepulchre. They went out quickly. They went out to tell the good news. The tomb is empty. Christ is risen from the dead. May the Lord increase our love for the Savior. And give us a love for Christ that is as strong as death. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow and pray. Oh, our dear Lord, we do rejoice today that we've been gathered around a word, an infallible word, that tells us that Christ is alive. He has conquered death. He has conquered the grave. No, Lord God, we know where he is today. the right hand of the Father in glory, where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Lord, may we go from God's house today rejoicing, rejoicing in Christ, our living Savior, our living and exalted Lord. Be with us, Lord, as we part the one from the other. Grant us all traveling mercy. Keep thy hand upon us. Keep us all healthy, safe, and well in these days. Return us, Lord, to the service tonight, to thy house, we might learn more about our dear Savior. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.